Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Okay, we want to welcome everyone who is joining us from around the country, those of you who are at different locations around the nation, and you are in your own church today. We're so glad that you and your church are joining us and a part of our series that begins right here today, and that is the series Naked and Unafraid. Now, you might be wondering, what is this about? And it has been, I want to admit it, it has been fun seeing people react to the title and all the questions and all the comments that people are making. It's so much fun, which is why I actually just want to begin with the premise of the book that's found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So let's pray together and then we'll get started. Say with me, my heart is open, my mind is ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, give somebody a high five, and you may be seated today. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David is king of Israel, and as a man after God's own heart, David has longed to have the national symbol of God's presence, which was the Ark of the Covenant. He has longed to have that back in Jerusalem. And a lot of you might have thought Ark of the Covenant is just something they produced in Hollywood, but not so. It's right there in Scripture, and it represented the presence of God. And so David, as the king, has longed to have it in Jerusalem because it was stolen by their enemies. And so today is the big day. We're going to read about it, but today is the big day where the ark is arriving in the city. And it's festive. It's a huge celebration. There's parades in the street. And David is right in the middle of it. He's right down in the middle of the parade. And he is dancing. And he is excited. And he is worshiping God. Meanwhile, David's wife, Michal, who was King Saul's daughter, was not in the streets, but she was watching the festivities from a window in the palace. Later that night, David headed home, and that's where we're going to pick up the story. In verse 20, 2 Samuel 6, it reads like this. It says, "But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How the king of Israel distinguished himself today.'" A little sarcasm going on here. "He uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord." It was before God, he says, "who chose me, by the way, above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler of the people of the Lord over Israel." We're hearing from a guy who knew who he was. He knew his assignment. And he says, "This is not about me. This is about the Lord who has appointed me and given me assignment, and I am doing what God wants me to do." And so the last line says, "Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord." Now, going back to the text, when you just read the scripture, you might conclude that David's wife, Michal, is mad at David because he took off his clothes and he danced in the streets without his clothes on. But guess what? David was physically clothed. What Michal was angry about was that David who was the king, was down in the streets mingling, celebrating, taking off his royal garment, having fun, and worshiping God with the people. In her mind, the street was not where he belonged. He shouldn't be getting caught up in something like this. Like, he shouldn't be out there engaging and interacting. And she obviously preferred the window, and she obviously thought that he was foolish to put himself out there like that. So I want you to just notice the contrast that we have. She's in the window, he's in the streets. She's at a distance, he's participating. She sees what he's doing as risky, and he sees what he's doing as rewarding. Today, I want to talk about the fear of exposure. You see, being open and vulnerable is one of the most common fears we face. When my wife Sheila and I first met, I said hello, and she extended her hand and said, "Hi, I'm Sheila, and I'm shy." I shook her hand, and I said, it just came out of my mouth, I said, "I'm Kevin, and I'm careful." And the game began. Let the game begin. See, neither one of us was telling the truth. She wasn't and isn't shy. Does anybody want to say amen to that one? Like, she's not shy. And I wasn't careful because a year later we were married. But the point is that along the way, both of us had learned how to present to others a version of ourselves that we want others to see. Most of us began relationships like that because it's reasonable. It's not smart to open your life equally to everyone. And that's not what I mean when I refer to being vulnerable. See, vulnerability is not weakness. You can be vulnerable and strong at the same time. It doesn't mean trusting everyone or committing yourself to everyone. It doesn't mean setting aside common sense. It doesn't mean getting naked with everyone. Just thought I'd clarify that today. The definition that we're embracing and using for vulnerability is this. Vulnerability is making a move with no guarantee of the outcome. Vulnerability is making a move with no guarantee of the outcome. It's putting yourself out there. See, we sometimes hesitate on something as simple as a smile. Think about it. Because we don't know if they'll smile back. Isn't that interesting? No guarantee, if I put myself out there, what the response is going to be. And it's the same with things like admitting that we're wrong or saying that we're sorry. Why is that scary to us? It's because we're putting ourselves out there and we're not sure, and there is no guarantee that they're going to respond or reciprocate or say back, "Yeah, no, I'm sorry, it was my fault." See, in its greatest strength, vulnerability is simply accepting the risk of living a large, open, and expansive life. Which means if you're Simon Peter, it's getting out of the boat. If you're a girl named Esther, who has been in captivity in a foreign land, vulnerability means being an advocate for your people who are in danger of genocide. If you're Moses, it's not letting a speech impediment stop you. Can anybody hear what I'm saying today? I'm talking about this willingness to put yourself out there when there is no guarantee of the outcome. And if you're Moses, it's accepting your call and accepting what God has called you to do, even though you feel inadequate and you're focused on your insufficiency. And I want to just say to everyone today that this is a life decision that we all face repeatedly and sometimes daily. And this is how I really hope that I can help you, encourage you, lift you, move you forward in your walk with God, is because we face a decision often in life, sometimes on a daily basis. And that decision is this: it's window versus street. Window versus street. You want to say that with me? Window versus street. Say it again. Window versus street. And the question is, are we going to let the fear of exposure, the fear of other people's opinions, the fear of failure, the fear of inadequacy, hold us in a window when God's plan is for us to be in the street? Amen? So let's talk about it from this frame of reference. Relationships don't get better in the window. They get better in the street. In other words, relationships get better in a place of openness and vulnerability. But that doesn't mean it's easy, because it's not. Vulnerability is risky, and exposure is scary. Can I get an amen on that? But see, staying in the window is also risky in a different way. If you stay in the window, relationships are shallow, and intimacy is impossible. And people who you're meant to be in life with will struggle to feel a connection with you if you stay in the window. If you stay in the window, you'll shut down too soon in the conversation. And that conversation that was hard but would have led you to a new place of understanding and freedom, it gets cut off because you drift back or you go back to a safe place. And then if you're not careful, you'll stay trapped and controlled by those feelings, and you'll spend all your life in the window, worried about rejection, feeling insecure. I want to show you today just a picture of a hedgehog. I don't know if you're familiar with this little animal, but on a cold day, a hedgehog will search out other hedgehogs to huddle up with to keep warm. But because of his prickly little spines that he has on him, he's forced then to make a choice: get close, stay warm, and get stabbed, or keep away, stay safe, and freeze. So it's window versus street. Window versus street. Window versus street. See, anybody can justify staying in the window, but don't do it. Don't do it. Relationships get better in a place of openness and vulnerability. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but playing it safe is dangerous. Like, playing it safe is not as safe as people think it is. In fact, one of the main reasons that many people have miserable lives and miserable marriages is because they think it's safer to keep their struggles private. It's just an example of what I'm talking about. They play it safe. They don't get the help they need. And they think that that's better. But what we're saying today is that when you play it safe like that, it's dangerous. Sure, you're protecting your image. Sure, nobody knows about it. But it's only a matter of time. If you don't get help, if you don't come open, if you don't put yourself out there. Businesses, for example, they go bankrupt on a regular basis because they played it safe and they were afraid to try something new. It happens all the time. Just sticking with the old, stay with the old. Let's be really, really careful here. By the way, same things happens in churches. Like, change is the constant companion of progress, but we're afraid of change. Like, we get so locked up and scared that we don't want to change anything that we're doing, afraid of what somebody might think or somebody who might not like it. But playing it safe is dangerous. There's all kinds of potential right now inside of you and people around you today who are afraid to put themselves out there. Afraid to be vulnerable. Afraid to ask questions. Afraid to give input. And sometimes I wonder how many songs haven't been written that were meant to be written. Like sometimes I wonder how many churches haven't actually been started that were meant to be started. Sometimes I wonder, like, how many people are supposed to be somewhere in society doing something significant and making a difference, but they stayed in the window. They stayed in the safe seat. I'm just putting this out here in front of you today to say to you that in your life, you're going to get some opportunities and some open doors. Let's not be people who stay in the window when it's time to dance in the streets. Helen Keller said it like this. She said, avoiding danger in the long run is no safer than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Is that not powerful? Avoiding danger in the long run. That's what we have to do to ourselves. We have to prompt ourselves to get out there and say, okay, the me I'm being right now, where's that going to take me? Am I going to be happy with my life 5 years from now, or am I going to look back with regret? How about 15 years? How about 20 years? Am I going to look back and say, boy, I wish I'd have just taken some more chances, had some more faith, trusted God a little bit more with my life and His leading in my life? The logic that I'm sharing with you right now is counterintuitive to most people. And that's why you'll have to work on it. You'll have to continually remind yourself. And I'm not just talking about older people or retired people who are playing it safe. Here's a fact for you. Millennials are less likely to become entrepreneurs than any recent generation. And I've been in conversations with millennials who have told me why. And it sounds reasonable. It sounds justifiable. But it's still being a window watcher. It's still being trapped in the fear of exposure. It's still staying in a safe place because of what happened to them, what happened in the previous generation, what they did, what I don't want to see happen to me. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to put yourself out there. I promise you, I felt scared when I came to the Northwest as a 26-year-old from the Midwest with my wife and my daughter, Jody, no family here, no organization sponsoring us. So I'm not saying it's easy. And I know exactly the challenge of not being, fighting against the fear and trying not to let your fear stop you. I've never written a book, for example, without wondering, will people actually buy it? Like, is it actually gonna help? Is it gonna get any further than the shelf it sits on? I've never had a book come out where I just, No, because there's this scary process when you decide to leave a window in your life. There's a scary process of putting yourself out there. A few years ago, after I came to the Northwest, I became aware that leading our church meant that I would not be able to shield myself or my family from what I now call leadership pain. I didn't even have a term for that before. But now I've labeled it leadership pain. And it was just a few years in when I'd had some of those painful experiences that I had to come to terms with this. Am I going to go to the window? Am I going to play it safe? Or am I going to say, God is able to give me the strength I need, to heal me when I'm hurt, to help me through the difficult day? Am I willing to give up the safe place for the place where God has called me to be? What I'm telling you is, I get it. I understand the urge. I know that it's tempting to play it safe. But you were never meant to live guarded or weak. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. You are not meant to live in a sheltered, protective place. You're meant to live vulnerable and strong at the same time. See, vulnerability, I'm going to say it again, is not weakness. And this is a revelation I had to get a hold of, because I always equated vulnerability with weakness. I didn't even like the word vulnerability. Like, just for those of you who care or are interested in it, my personality is that I'm a high D. I like to go. I like to conquer. And Enneagram, I'm an 8. Like, I'm a challenger. That's just who I am. And so it makes sense when you think about it that I was always looking at vulnerability. Ah, that's a weak word. That's for weak people. And then I've come to understand something different. And that is that you can be vulnerable and strong at the same time. And that's the place God's called us to be. Come on, you can put yourself out there. I said, you can put yourself out there. You can raise a standard of boldness and courage and confidence and live that way in your life. And that's what really God wants from all of us. That's what He needs from us to help make a difference in our friends, in our family, in our community. He doesn't need us to go seek out a safe seat. He doesn't need us to be pulling back and being worried about what people think about us. He needs us to be courageous. He needs us to be daring. He needs us to be willing to take a few hits, take a few shots, let people criticize if they're going to. And understand that vulnerability literally can also be a place of strength. And lastly today, let me just announce this to you, and that is that comfort is way overrated. It's way overrated. The best things in life don't come from being comfortable. In fact, one of the best things that you can do is to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, if it's as simple a thing as staying healthy, then that means being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Are you hearing me today? Like, because it's not comfortable when you don't grab the sugar. It's more comfortable to grab the sugar. Like, that's why they call it comfort food. Because it makes us comfortable. But if you want to be healthy, Come on, if you want to be healthy, you got to get used to being uncomfortable. And I know I'm talking to some of you today, people of all ages and backgrounds, when I say this, and when I challenge you toward this, I would just say it in a way that I hope is like a challenge to you that you'll accept and take. And that is, rather than looking for what's easier, how about pursuing what's better? Rather than looking for the easy path, how about looking for the highest path, the best path, the path of your calling, of your purpose, of walking out the path that God has for your life? See, one reason that so many people struggle with being who they are is because they have spent their whole life, their entire life, in a challenge of trying to be who other people want them to be. And so they struggle with being who they are meant to be, because their whole life is spent being who they're supposed to be. And I don't know who I'm talking to this weekend, but I know there's a lot of us that could put ourselves in that category with that struggle. It's that window versus street, window versus street. And people, if we're not careful, people by the thousands end up conforming to a life that's the most comfortable life, whenever God's called us by the thousands to leave the place of comfort and to pursue something that is higher and greater and better that He's called us to do with our lives. The conforming life means that I'm going to stay where it's comfortable. I'm going to stay where I fit in, but the called life is not to fit in. The called life says, no, comfort is way overrated. I'm not called to be comfortable. I'm not called to be normal. How about that? I'm not called to be normal like everybody else is normal. I'm not called to fit in. I'm called to stand out. And God's not called me to be normal. God's called me to be exceptional. God's called me to live large, open, and expansive with my life. Come on, join me today if you would. And let's make a decision that we're going to have the courage to risk exposure, to choose street versus window, to choose not the comfortable life, but the called life. And to all agree that, you know what, the street is where the best things happen. Yes, it can be uncomfortable. And yes, I might feel some pressure. But remember this, pressure is where babies are born and diamonds are formed. Take that home with you today. Like, don't get mad about the pressure. Come on, don't run from the pressure. But embrace it, accept it, be strong, be bold, live your life out there with an open, expansive, large attitude. You see, the cross is our ultimate example of naked and unafraid. Think about it. Jesus knew that He was here on a mission, and He knew what He was here to do, and He refused to play it safe. He refused to take the easy route. He refused to stay where He would be comfortable. He made up His mind, I'm not going to avoid the pain. I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to fulfill God's plan for my life. He is the ultimate example. I said he is the ultimate example. That's why the writer in Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. It's not that he liked it. It's not that it was comfortable. He despised the idea of being there in front of humanity, hanging on a cross, the brutality of all of it. But he was looking out into the future. And he was saying, the price is worth the price. And I'm going to continue to put myself out there so that I can please God and someday I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Anybody thankful for Jesus today? Come on, anybody thankful for Jesus? Now, maybe for some of you who are here today, stepping out of your comfort zone means a decision to give your life to Jesus. And perhaps some of you who are here this weekend, that's your next step of courage. It's your step into the great adventure of trusting God, of putting your faith in God, of putting yourself in a place that maybe is, especially right now while I'm talking to you and your heart goes, yeah, yeah. Some of you are identifying with this moment, but you're putting yourself in a place, potentially, where it's not the most comfortable place to be, but it's exactly where God's called you to be. And maybe this is what it looks like in this moment, is just saying, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus as the leader, as the Lord of my life, and I'm going to trust him that he has a plan for my life. I'm going to quit living in a place where I have to understand everything, know everything, get all my questions answered. I'm going to step into a place called faith, and I'm going to put my confidence and my trust in him. So if that's you today, a man, a woman, a young person, a father, a son, a mom, a daughter, if that's you today, I want to invite you to join us, and we're going to pray a simple prayer that we call the prayer of new beginnings. And if God's talking to you, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now, I want to invite you to just join us and surrender not only this moment, but the rest of your life to him. You'll never regret making this move of faith today. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin and make me a new person. I receive you now as the leader, as the Lord of my life, and I boldly declare I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, I want to be the first to welcome you to a brand new beginning. Come on, church. Let's give a great big welcome today. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.